This is Psalm 16, verses 1 to 6. Protect me, O God. I trust in you for safety. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. All the good things I have come from you. How excellent are the Lord's faithful people. My greatest pleasure is to be with them. Those who rush to other gods bring many troubles on themselves. I will not take part in their sacrifices. I will not worship their gods. You, Lord, are all I have, and you give me all I need. My future is in your hands. How wonderful are your gifts to me. How good they are.
I praise the Lord because he guides me. And in the night, my conscience warns me. I am always aware of the Lord's presence. He is near and nothing can shake me. And so I'm thankful and glad, and I feel completely secure because you protect me from the power of death. I have served you faithfully, and you will not abandon me to the world of the dead. You will show me the path that leads to life. Your presence fills me with joy and brings me pleasure forever. Let's pray together.
Father, thank you for hearing our prayers. And we pray particularly now for schools in our city, starting the term with remote learning, and particularly for the school leaders who had to tell parents yesterday for primary schools that this would be the case, Lord. We pray for that you would give them stamina and wisdom as they change their plans. We pray for the school most local to Holland Road, Brunswick Primary, and for the acting head there, Alison Colbrand, that you would help them with a large school make all the arrangements that they need to make. We pray for parents, especially those who face extra challenges, who have lack of support, lack of space, lack of access to technology, and other difficulties related to work and space. Lord, we pray that you will give them the grace that they need at this time. And Lord, we pray for children. We thank you for the joy that they bring. Lord, we pray that you would give them joy. Lord, we pray that you would give them resilience and perseverance and flexibility. Lord, we pray that for those who are preparing for exams, Lord, for those who are not able to see their friends and are missing them, Lord, we thank you that you can walk alongside us, and we pray that children in our church would know your presence and your comfort and your joy. And we pray, Lord, as well, finally, that you'll give wisdom to those in government and in our local authorities as they make really difficult decisions at this time. Lord, please give them wisdom and good guidance around them. Amen.
And Lord Jesus, we do want to cry out to you too for our doctors and nurses in our congregation. Particularly, we pray for them. We thank you for the amazing way they serve others so sacrificially. Lord, we pray that you would protect them, that you would give them peace and fill them with your spirit, that they might be beacons of light and joy and hope, even in those challenging environments. So Lord, particularly at this time, as case numbers rise in our city and the pressure is put on hospitals, Lord, we pray for all key workers and NHS workers in our city and beyond. Lord, please protect them and help them. Lord, may hospitals be amazingly places where your presence is felt. Lord, that you would come and bring healing and hope to patients, and strength and wisdom and skill to doctors and nurses. Lord, we pray that you would be gracious, and there would be a turning of the sort of tide, as it were, in our struggle and battle with COVID at these days. And Lord, we pray, God, that you would do all that you want to do in us. Lord, please, God, we know that when you shake things and shake our lives and our worlds, Lord, it's so that we lean on you, the unshakable one. And Lord, please, would you do that for us, but for many in our city and our nation, that there would be a great turning to you. And Lord, even now, speak to us, I pray, through these thoughts and this message that my dad has for us. Lord, I pray that you, God, would help us grow in our trust for you. For we ask in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thanks, Dad.
I'm not very good at New Year's resolutions. I find I make these urgent, ardent promises to myself, and then after a few weeks, I'm just discouraged. A friend of mine once gave me the advice, Mike, don't try and focus on your promises, focus on God's promises, because God's better at keeping his promises than we are as human beings. And so since then, I've been trying to take into the year, rather than New Year's resolutions, a passage from the Bible, so that I can focus on those things that God is saying to me and anchor my year and the beginning of my year around that. So this year, Chris and I are taking Psalm 16, which is one of those great songs of David, 3,000 years old, but full of timeless truths that have lived for generation after generation because they're so meaningful. So I'm going to walk us through this morning Psalm 16, taking a couple of verses at a time and reflecting on them with you. And I'm using the Today's English Version, which I found particularly helpful. So let me begin by reading the first couple of verses. David begins, "Protect me, O God. I trust in you for safety. I say to the Lord, you are my God. All the good things I have come from you." So David begins with trusting God. Protect me, O God. I'm trusting you for safety. And I ask myself, am I beginning this year with fear? And there's certainly plenty to be fearful about. Or am I beginning with faith? I find in my own life that fear is paralyzing, where faith leads me to hope and to love. But I also find that I can take my fears to God and turn them into faith. They can help me if I talk to God about my fears, as David does here. They can help me to turn fear into faith. So David says, I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. David talks to God. And I would encourage you, as you start this year, to try to identify what are some of the things you're worried about or anxious about or fearful about, and learn to talk to God about them. And perhaps you're not someone who easily turns to prayer or thinks of prayer, and it's not something you're particularly familiar with or habit. But you can use, one of the great things about these psalms is that you can use them as prayers. You could take this Psalm 16 and make it your prayer to God at the beginning of this year and see if it will take you in the direction of faith and away from fear. Well, King David turns from this broad theme of trusting God to the specific of trusting God for friends, which again I think is very relevant at the moment. Here's what he says next, verse 3 and 4. How excellent are the Lord's faithful people. My greatest pleasure is to be with them. Those who rush to other gods bring many troubles on themselves. I will not take part in their sacrifices. I will not worship their gods. So David is trusting God for the right friends. He's acknowledging the importance of the right friends in his life. And of course, we've been thinking as a nation in these last weeks about the importance of friendships for mental health and the fact that the problem with social distancing, though we need it to combat this virus, which is very, very important, and we need to take that seriously. But the problem with social distancing is it leads to being distanced socially, to not being able to be with our friends. But I think it can be an opportunity at this time to think about the friendships that we've got, rather than just be doing friendship. To be thinking about our friendships and thinking about them especially before God and asking who are the most helpful friends in our lives? Who are the ones who help us towards faith rather than fear? Who help us towards hope and love? David talks here about the danger of those who rush after other gods. Perhaps, although that's set in the sort of language of 3,000 years ago, perhaps you can think about who are people in your lives who might be influencing you unhelpfully? And especially for young people, these choices about friendships are very, very important. And maybe this time when our friendships are a bit more constrained is a time to think about the choices we're making in friendships. Paul tells us in the New Testament that bad company ruins good morals. And that's still abidingly true. Those who rush after other gods, says David, multiply their sorrows. They bring trouble on themselves and on us if we follow them. But those friendships that help us toward faith, they're the ones that we want to prioritize. So I'm asking myself, and I encourage you to ask yourself at the start of this year, who are my friends? Who are the ones who can help me? And how am I prioritizing my relationship? And what can I do even with these socially distanced limitations to be building those friendships? The next thing David turns to is trusting God with limitations. Let me read these verses 5 and 6 from the psalm. Yes, Lord, David says, all I have. Yes, Lord, you are all I have, and you give me all I need. My future is in your hands. How wonderful are your gifts to me. How good they are. The older translations that I've looked at of this psalm talk about this in sort of the language of Old Testament inheritance. They talk about my lot and the boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places and I have a goodly heritage. Now, the thing about boundary lines is they do mark out what is mine, what is my inheritance. But boundary lines also impose limits. They also tell me what is not mine. And in these days when we are all facing limitations, and I am going into this year struggling with the limitations that this pandemic has put on my life at this point, a friend of mine used to say, you know, that people are a bit like puppies. It doesn't matter where you put the fences, they'll always be trying to dig their way out under them. And I find I have to learn at this time particularly, but perhaps always, to curb in me the inner puppy of struggling with the limitations and seeing those limitations not as a frustration, not just as a boundary on my efforts, but as a boundary that marks out my inheritance, as that which helps me to see what God has given me, if I can accept the limitations and live within them, that this is the land that I can farm. This is what I can give myself to. And in this present time, accepting the limitations that are imposed, not just as arbitrary limitations imposed by human government, but as God-given opportunities to focus and to learn contentment and thankfulness for what I do have, to be able to embrace contentment, not to become complacent. And I have to wrestle with that. As I face this year, what does contentment and thankfulness look like without becoming complacent, but embracing the boundaries that God has placed in my life? And then verse 7 and 8, David turns to the matter of guidance. Let me read these verses. I praise you, Lord, because you guide me. And in the night, my conscience warns me. I am always aware of the Lord's presence. He is near and nothing can shake me. I praise the Lord because he guides me. I'm already facing some difficult decisions about the year ahead, partly because I've got to make changes in the light of what's going on around us in the world at the moment. And I've already experienced something of what David describes here of in the night, my conscience guiding me. I've had a couple of quite sleepless nights as I wrestle with some big decisions ahead. And I wonder if that happens to you sometimes. I can certainly identify with what David must be describing as his experience here. So how does God guide us? How do I expect him to guide us? Well, David focuses on that which helps him to embrace God's presence. I am always aware of the Lord's presence. He is near me and nothing can shake me. I can trust the Lord because he's promised to guide me. He is near me. I can focus on him. I wonder what helps you to focus on God's invisible presence. I find that setting aside a time each day, preferably in the morning, but not always, and I don't necessarily do this religiously, but it has become a pattern of my life, that I set aside a time each day to focus on God's presence, a quiet time, when I can read the Bible and I can pray, and I can ask the Lord for help in deciding the big things in front of me. A friend of mine used to say the Lord's guidance is like the runway lights on an airport trying to help a plane to land, that there are things that we can look for that line up to show us the way. And certainly one of those is the light of God's word shining on our path. Another is to pray, and then to use the brains that God has given us. A friend of mine used to say, God gave us a lot of leading when he gave us a brain. And we can try and weigh pros and cons of things that confront us, and to do so in a prayerful way rather than a frustrated way. And the circumstances play a part in guiding us, because we believe that God is overall in charge of our circumstances. And then the advice and counsel of good friends that we were talking about just now. And these things, when these things line up, they can give confidence about God's guiding as we look into the future. But lastly, in this psalm, King David turns to the great unmentionable. He talks about death, trusting God in the face of death. And of course, one of the frightening things about this pandemic is that a lot of people have died from it, from COVID. And so our minds tend to be on this, although of course death is a constant reality in our lives. And as the Bible reminds us, death is the end of everyone and the living should take it to heart. So this year, perhaps with the COVID pandemic going on, is a good time to ask yourself, what do I really think about death? This is what David says. I am so thankful and glad, and I feel completely secure because you, Lord, protect me from the power of death. I have served you faithfully, and you will not abandon me to the world of the dead. You will show me the path of life, the path that leads to life. Your presence fills me with joy and brings me pleasure forever. Now, focusing on death, David is not trying to be morbid, and he's certainly not trying to frighten us, and I'm not trying to do that either, because we don't need to be frightened of death. Jesus once said, don't be afraid of those who can kill the body, and after that they have nothing more they can do. The Apostle Paul, when he talked about this passage in a synagogue in Turkey about 2,000 years ago, pointed out that, of course, David did die. So the wonderful promise of these verses is not talking about putting off death as long as possible and living a very long life. It's about something much more wonderful. It's about resurrection. It's about Jesus' victory over death. Jesus, David's descendant, is the one who really made these verses come true. He is the one who changed death forever into a gateway into life. As the old hymn puts it, Jesus lives, henceforth is death, but the gate to life eternal. How important in our lives and in the way we live our lives is this kind of confidence that David expresses here? How does this confidence shape the way we live and the way we think about the future? How does this confidence help us to live life without fear but with faith? Let me read what David says again. And I am so thankful and glad, and I feel completely secure because you protect me from the power of death through Jesus' victory over death. I have served you faithfully, and you will not abandon me to the world of the dead. You will show me the path that leads to life. Your presence fills me with joy and brings me pleasure forever. David says, you will show me the path that leads to life. And this reminds me of what Thomas, one of Jesus' disciples, asked Jesus the night before Jesus was crucified. He said, Lord, show us the way. And Jesus famously replied, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The way through the year ahead, the way to confidence in the face of death is Jesus. And so that takes us back full circle to the beginning of the psalm. Can we say with David, protect me, O God, I trust in you for safety. I say to the Lord, you, Lord Jesus, are my Lord. You, the one who conquered death. All the good things I have come from you. Let's make this our prayer as we begin 2021.